That this morning, say amen.
Amen.
I'm telling you, that helped me, sis. I don't know where you went, but that helped me a sight, and I appreciate that. And I was thinking as she was standing there singing, she's seen a whole lot more than I've seen, and she's experienced a whole lot more than most of us in here. But the one message she was singing to us was, "My God is real." I was reminded of the fact we're not here to play games. We're not here just to, this is just not some hobby we have, but this God we're singing about, this God we're preaching about, and this God that we're loving on this morning, He's a real God. He's not just, hey, look up in here. He's not just some picture on a wall. He's not a genie in a bottle. He's not just some figment of our mind, but He is alive and well. And He sits on the throne of heaven. He's in control. Hey, it's been a tiresome time. It's been a crazy time this past year or two. But you understand, not one thing has fell through the cracks of the hands of our God. He's still holding it all in His hands. And it just feels good to be a part of His family this morning. It feels good to be a child of the King, and He has been good. They sung about the goodness of our God and the blessings, and I can say even just this past year, God's been better to me than I deserve, and it's just a joy. It feels preachy in here this morning, and I'm just glad to be here and enjoy the good Sunday school, and y'all got the greatest Sunday school teacher there's ever been, in my opinion. And if you believe otherwise, then don't tell me, all right? And I won't feel bitter towards you. I love your preacher. And I thank God for him. Thank God for this church. We pray for you often. And it's just a joy to get to be with you today. I want you to take your Bibles and be finding the book of Daniel this morning. Daniel chapter number 6. Daniel chapter number 6. And he touched on some things out of the book of Daniel. I was grateful for that this morning. Daniel chapter number 6. Give you the thought the Lord's laid on my heart. And we've been in meeting for a few weeks now. So I'm grateful for that. Some of you know we've got a tent ministry, and we've got the tent set up. We'll be going into tent meeting this week down in Lenore City. So I want you to pray for that and be praying that we'll see some folks saved down there. And I'm praying that God will do a work down there. How many agree that we're living in a world that's not getting better, it's getting worse? And if ever there was a day we need to go outside these walls and take the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's in this day and in this hour. And so you pray for that this week as well. All right, Daniel chapter number 6 and verse number 10. Daniel chapter number 6 and verse number 10. If you love your Bible this morning, would you let it know by saying amen? The Bible says, "Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he knelt upon his knees 3 times a day, and he prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions?" The king answered and said, "This thing is true according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not." Then answered they and said before the king that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition 3 times a day. Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself, and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him, and he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men were assembled unto the king and said unto the king, "Know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is that no decree nor a statute which the king establisheth may be changed." Then verse 16, the Bible says, "Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel, and they cast him into the den of lions. Heavenly Father, we do love you this morning. God, I thank you for the good singing. I thank you, Lord, for what we feel within our hearts already. We could leave right now and say that it has been good to be in your house today. But God, as we come to the preaching time, I pray that you do what only you can do. I recognize, Lord, where I stand right now. God, I stand where no man ever dares stands by himself. And so I pray that you would speak through me this morning. I pray, God, for a fresh touch and a fresh anointing, that you would take this unworthy vessel. God, you'd use it for thy glory and that alone. God, your people, I need to hear from heaven this morning. They don't need to hear from me. They don't need to hear from a man. They need to hear from you. And so I pray, God, that you prick every heart within the building. I pray you'd do a great and a mighty work to exalt the name of Jesus. Should there be one here that does not know you, I pray today would be the day that you would conviction from heaven would fall. God, it would draw them. There would be a revelation take place, and they would see who they really are, and they're seeing for what it is. But not only that, they would see you as the Savior that you are, and they'd run to you, cry out unto thee, place their faith in you, and be forever changed. Thank you for this good church. Thank you, Lord, for this dear pastor. I pray you continue to do a great work here, and may the name of Jesus be exalted. We'll thank you ahead of time for what you're about to do. It's in Christ's high and holy name we do humbly pray. Amen and amen. Thank you so much for standing, and you can be seated this morning. Here in Daniel chapter number 6, we're during the reign of King Darius. Darius, if you, and you ought to know it around here with your preacher, but Darius, you know, he was the third ruler or the third emperor there over the Babylonian Empire. If you go back to chapter number 1, we understand that there was, when Daniel was first taken captive from the land of Judah down to the land of Babylon, there was a different man who was on the throne, a different ruler in the land during that time, and it was a man by the name of Nebuchadnezzar. However, in chapter number 4, we find that the kingdom or the empire was taken from him, and there arose a new leader, and that man's name was Belshazzar. And how many of you know that God, just because you got some power, just because you have some authority, that don't mean anything. God, I could replace you just like that. The kingdom was taken from Nebuchadnezzar, and now it was given to Belshazzar. However, in chapter number 5, we see that just like King Nebuchadnezzar learned, Belshazzar learned, where we see the great handwriting on the wall, he too found out that his days were numbered. And although you may be recognized as a king among men, although you may have some authority while upon this earth and among men, the reality of the matter is there's only one true and living king. Whether you recognize him as king or not, he's still king. Jehovah is his name, and you too are going to bow your knee and recognize him as the king that he is. May I say to you this morning, I don't know who you are, don't know your story, don't know where you came from, I don't know a lot about you, don't need to know, you don't know about me, but may I say, regardless of your name and regardless of your title, regardless of what men may recognize you as, you too are going to bow your knee and recognize him for who he is. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment, whether you agree or disagree. Death is coming. You're going to see our king someday. You will bow and you will recognize him as the king of who he is. The best advice I could give you this morning, just run to him while you can. Just go ahead and bow while you can. Recognize him today, because I'm afraid there's going to be a lot. It's going to be too late. Amen. Oh, these kings, they realize there's somebody greater. There's somebody more mightier than they. And so Nebuchadnezzar, he's risen and fallen. Belshazzar, he's risen and fallen. And now there's a new king that's risen by the name of Darius. And in chapter number 6, we find that Darius, he's desiring to regain control of this empire that he's been inherited. And as part of that, as part of his plan and his job to do
so, he begins to appoint some men in authority. In verse number 1 of chapter number 6, we find that he would appoint 120 princes over the whole kingdom. But of these 120 princes, in verse number 2, we find that there was 3 presidents of whom he would appoint over these 120 princes. And the Bible says that at the top of those 3 presidents, there was Daniel. He was the one of whom Daniel was preferred. And so I guess it would be fair to say this morning that Daniel, he has risen to the top. He's kind of at the top of the food chain, if you will. And if you know your Bible, here's the intriguing thing about it, is if you know your Bible, Daniel's not even a Jew. I mean, in other words, he was not from Babylon. I mean, that's not where he grew up. Well, I guess you could say he grew up there because he was a young man, but he was taken captive from the land of Judah. He's an outsider. He was a foreigner, if you will. And so, if you study the life of Daniel, you'll find that he was a man that loved God. He honored God. He worshiped God. He served God. He was faithful to God even while he was living in a foreign land. You know what we need this morning? You know what the need of the hour is in 2020? We need some men, women, boys, or girls that arise up, and although we're living in a foreign land, although we're living in a crazy world, although we're living in a place that's contrary to the land we're longing to see, yet still while in this foreign land, we'll make up our mind, take our stand, that we're still going to serve God, and we're still going to honor God, and we're still going to love God. Don't you know that if it was up to Daniel, Daniel wouldn't have grown up in Babylon. He wouldn't be living in Babylon. He would have been in God's land, back in the land of Judah. But it wasn't up to Daniel. He didn't get to choose that. God chose it for him. And so, but what Daniel did get to choose is he did get to choose whether he was going to serve God or whether he was not going to serve God. And Daniel chose to serve God. I say, God, help us to be a people that'll stand up and serve him even in a foreign land. By the way, don't get too much invested down here. The Bible makes it very clear we're just strangers and pilgrims just passing through. This is not our home, friend. Hey, listen, I keep up with some of the things going on around the world, but I mean, if you get too involved with it, you'll get discouraged, you'll get depressed. I mean, when you read the news and the newspaper and watch the news, I mean, you'll get discouraged and depressed, and if you ain't careful, you'll end up getting mad as well. And you say, I can't believe that, and it'll bother you. But may I say, remember, friend, this is not our home. Don't get so tore up about it. We seek a different country, a heavenly country, one whose builder and maker is God. And Daniel says, even while I'm in this foreign land, I'm going to serve him. I'm going to honor him. And so here he is, and he's been promoted basically over the entire kingdom. And he's not even one of them. You say, how does that happen? Well, I believe God will put who he wants, where he wants, when he wants. He's God. You say, well, I wouldn't have done that. I wouldn't have done it that way. Well, that's why you ain't God. He's God. Amen. But I want you to notice in verse number 3 of chapter number 6, the Bible says about Daniel that the reason he was preferred above the rest is because he had something that not everybody else had. Notice it says about Daniel. In other words, there was something about him that was different. There was something about him that separated him from everybody else in the land that day. There was something unique, something special, something was attractive in the life of Daniel that even though they may not have understood it in its fullness, even though they may not even agreed with it, it was still attractive to those that got to see it. You say, what was it? Well, it wasn't his money. It wasn't his popularity. It wasn't his fame. It wasn't his personality. It wasn't his charisma. It wasn't anything of that nature. But what it was that separated Daniel from all of the rest of them in the land is the Bible says that Daniel, he had an excellent spirit about him. I think this is important, especially in the day in which we're living in, because I'm telling you, if ever there was a day, you and I as the people of God ought to make sure we got the right spirit about us and the right spirit within our hearts. It is in this day and hour. May I say, and listen, here's why I say that. You can be saved and not have the right spirit.
Amen.
Amen. I'm not saying that the Spirit no longer abides within you. That's not what I'm saying. But I am saying this. You can allow sin, and you can allow your flesh, and you can allow the things of this world to suck things out of you and to produce a bad spirit within you. And an excellent spirit is attractive even to those who don't even know God. They looked at Daniel and they said, man, there's something different about this guy. There's something attractive about this guy. He's not like everybody else. And I want to say to you, the world may not agree with you and the world may not like you, but if you've got a good spirit about you, an excellent spirit about you, a godly spirit about you, they will respect you.
Amen.
So Daniel, he's promoted within the kingdom, just like it is when anybody gets a promotion. There were those that got mad. Amen. What about that? Always that crowd, you know. I mean, it don't matter. Anytime anybody gets promoted, there's always somebody going to get mad about it. And so all these princes and all these other presidents, verse number 4, they sought to found occasion against Daniel. In other words, they begin to find a reason. They begin to find a way to try to get rid of him, looking to get him demoted, if you will. But here's what I like about Daniel. Even when they were looking to find fault in him, even when they were looking to find something against him, they couldn't find it. By the way, it ought to be with every child of God. That's the way we ought to live. I'm talking about when the world, and that's the way the world works. If they can't find it on you, they'll just try to create something. That's what they did here with Daniel. They couldn't find anything, so they started to try to create something. And I believe within a child of God, we ought to live a life that even when the world looks at it, they can't find fault in it. They can't find a fault. Now, I'm not saying we're perfect and holy, because I mean, you ain't got to look very far, and you don't have to look very hard to find fault in every single one of us. Amen. You can say amen right there. If you didn't say amen, you got fault. That's the fault I'm talking about. You ain't being honest this morning. I'm telling you, listen, we got faults, but I am saying this. I still believe as a child of God, you ought to strive to live a life of holiness. You ought to strive to live a life of righteousness. You ought to strive to live a life to where there's a difference between us in the world. I believe we're still to be called out. We're to be a separate people, a peculiar people. We ought not look like the world. We ought not dress like the world, talk like the world, and sound like the world. But there ought to be something about this crowd that's different from anywhere else you'll go in the world and find. I mean, friend, you ought to find it ought not look like Neyland Stadium up in here. There ought to be a difference in the crowd that God is on. And so they look at Daniel and they can't find nothing. So they try to produce something. They try to create something. Their plan was, we'll all get together, we'll get with the king, we'll establish this new royal statute that whosoever, in verse number 7, whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. And so they go to the king. They prompted to get the king to sign it into order, and he did. Now, you study this out, and I've read a bunch of material, and some say, well, you know, the reason the king signed it is because Daniel wasn't there that day. Well, or Daniel didn't speak up, or any. I have no idea on that. If you want further details, you can get with your preacher. I'm sure he can give you some insight on that, but I don't know. All I know is that the Bible says that the king signed it in to order. And that brings us to our passage. The king's now signed the writing into order, and Daniel is faced with a choice. He's now faced with a decision. How is he going to respond to what's just taken place in his life? How's he going to respond to what's just taken place around him? Either he's going to go along with it, either he's going to accept it, or rather he's going to stand upon his convictions, and he's going to stand upon what he knows to be true and what he knows to be right. Now some look at this and they say, well, that's easy, preacher. He's going to stand up for what's right, and he's going to stand up for what's true, and he's going to stand upon his convictions. Well, that's easy. That's good preaching, especially in an environment like we're in this morning. But may I remind you, if Daniel stands on his convictions and he stands for what he knows to be true and what he knows to be right, they are going to kill him as a result. That's the decree. That's what the new writing suggested. And so it's easy to say, oh yeah, we're going to stand for what's right. But I'm going to tell you, friend, when your life life's on the line, that's a different ball game. I mean, it's easy to come in here like this morning and say, we love Jesus and we're going to stand for what's right and we're going to stand upon what we know to be true. But rather, when you go outside this world and your life is on the line, I'm telling you, friend, I don't believe there's that many that's really going to stand for God and stand on what's to be true. I mean, because I'm telling you, you look around in our world today, I mean, it's hard to find folk that'll stand for it even when their life's not on the line. And you're going to convince me you're going to stand for him when your life is on the line? Down there where I come from, they call that hogwash. That man, who you fooling? And so here he is, and he's being forced to make a choice. He's being forced to make a decision. How is he going to respond? What's he going to do? And I believe here in Daniel chapter number 6, I believe that Daniel makes the right response. I believe he has the right response, and he responds of the right way. And if there's ever a day where you and I, as the people of God, ought to have the right response among us, it ought to be in this day and in this hour. We ought to respond in the right way. Someone once said this: you can't control the circumstances or the happenings around you, but what you can control is your response to them. Now, Daniel's in a place where he has no control over what's going on. He has no control over these princes. He has no control over these presidents. And he even has no control over the king that signed the writing. That's outside of Daniel's control. All Daniel was guilty of is loving God and serving God and honoring God and being faithful to God. That's all Daniel was faithful or guilty of. But nonetheless, they did what they did. And now he's faced with a decision. And now he's faced with a choice. What is he going to do? And may I say, Daniel makes this right choice. He does do the right thing. And I want to say, we too find ourselves in a day, friend, where there's some things that's taken place just recently that's circled around us, that's happening in our world. Right as I'm preaching this morning, some things that are outside of our control, some things that if it was up to you and I, we wouldn't be dealing with, and we wouldn't have to go through these things. But nonetheless, here they are, and we're face to face with them. And I'm preaching in a day where many people, they're worried, they're concerned. What's going to happen next, preacher? How's this thing going to play out? What are we going to do now? How are we going to respond? I mean, it is no secret this morning, friend. I mean, in the past couple of years, just this past year, I mean, we've dealt with things we never thought we would be dealing with. I mean, friend, we're living in a messed up world. It's a crazy world. It's an evil world. It's a wicked world. I mean, it's a day where you can rise up and you can say whatever you want to say. Do whatever you want to do. Act however you want to act. Be whatever you want to be. As long as it don't go against that God-hating, liberal agenda, a society that's now arisen to power. I mean, you can get up in a public school nowadays. You can preach on anything. You can promote homosexuality. You can promote things like transgender and things of that nature. But yet if the teacher stands up and tells the students the truth of the matter about where they came from, and that they wasn't some organism that floated up someday and sprouted arms and legs and swung from branches and developed from a monkey. No. If the teacher stands up and tells them that they were uniquely and supernaturally created from a holy God, then now the principal wants to get on the teacher for it. I'm telling you, friend, it's a messed up world. It's a messed up day. I say, bless the name of Jesus. Hey, you might not agree with it. You might disagree with it. But the fact of the matter is, hey, it's a messed up world. You do what's right, they punish you for it. You do it the wrong way, and they reward you for it. I done made up my mind. They can punish me all they want to. I'm going to stay with God. I'm going to stick with what works. We're experiencing attack upon the things of God like never before. There's been an attack upon the church and the house of God like never before. And people's concern, people's worry. What are we going to do, preacher? How are we going to respond to all that's going on? Daniel, I believe he responds the right way. I'm going to give you a couple of things I see in the life of Daniel this morning and his response to the things going on around him in the world in which he lived. Verse number 10, number 1, I want you to notice his unwavering action. His unwavering action. Notice what it says, verse number 10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he knelt upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did, notice this, aforetime. He just goes, here's what I like about Daniel. Here's his number one response. Here's his response to what's going on. He just goes and gets back in his prayer closet. Just like he's done all the time before. Just like he's been doing all the years. I believe if I studied it correctly. I mean, he was a teen. He was a young man when he was taken captive. He was a young man. A teenager. And yet, if I'm correctly, preacher, you correct it. If I'm not, I think he's somewhere around 80 years of age. Somewhere in that nature. In chapter number 6. And so here it is. Daniel's been serving God. And now he's faced with a situation. What's he going to do now? And Daniel says, I tell you what I'm going to do now. I'm going to do the same thing I've been doing the whole time I'm here. I'm just going to keep on serving God. I'm going to keep on honoring God. He don't try to hide it. He's not trying to be discreet about it. He's not trying to have a secret church or anything of that nature. No, 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 Freya. He goes and gets in his prayer closet, and the Bible said, hey, with his windows open, he began to cry out to God just as he always had. Could I tell you this morning, you know what the right response to what's going on in our world today? You know the correct response is, don't change nothing, friend. Just keep on keeping on. Rear back and sing it again. Rear back and preach it again. Don't change the way you sing. Don't change the message you preach. You just lay in there and go on for the glory of God. Daniel don't change nothing. He said, he responds. He just goes back. He gets in his prayer closet and he begins to cry out unto God. I'm telling you, friend, last year, what we went through this past year, dealing with all the stuff we had to deal with. I ain't going to lie. There was a few moments I was kind of concerned. What are we going to do? And man, I got so sick and tired. I'd go in and preach, and I got so sick and tired of people coming up to me and say, preacher, what are we going to do now? You better change some things. You better get rid of your live feeds and your sermon audios. You better get rid of that. It's a different world we're living in now. But I done made my mind up. I'm going to go on with it. I ain't trying to shut my windows. I'm not trying to be discreet about it. I done made up my mind. I found a lily in my valley. I'm going to stay with him, friend. He's watched me and protected me all these years. He's going to watch me and protect me until he calls me home. I ain't going to bow down to it. I'm going to keep preaching. I'm going to keep singing. Hey, if you got to change your message, if you got to change your Bible, if you got to change your songs, you ain't won the world. The world has won you. Oh, Daniel, he don't change nothing. He just goes back in there. An unwavering action. Back to his prayer closet. Toward Jerusalem. And he praised unto God. Daniel says, I'm going to serve him. No matter what. He had an unwavering action. You know what the right response is? Just keep serving God. Just keep honoring God. Don't focus on the things you cannot control. Focus on what you can control. You can control your service to the Lord. Not only that, I see his absence of dispute. Verse number 11, notice what it says. Then these men assembled, found Daniel praying, making supplication before his God. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days save of thee, O king, I shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, the thing is true according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Verse 13, then answered they and said before the king that Daniel, which is of the children of captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition 3 times a day. Here's what's taking place. They go before the king and they're saying, now, didn't you sign that writing in order? Well, yeah. Well, that Daniel, that one that you like so well, that one that you've promoted over everybody else, he's out there praying to God. Now what you going to do? You gonna honor your writing? Are you really the king? Are you going to honor that? Or are you going to let it slide? And so they're there and they're making these accusations against Daniel. They're saying things against him. But here's what I like about Daniel. Nowhere in here do you ever find Daniel voicing his opinion. I never see Daniel go in there and say, hey, here's what they're saying, but here's the rumor. He don't even show up to dispute any of it. He never argues with them. He never pleads his case. As a matter of fact, you don't see him saying anything against their attacks or their accusations. Now, I want to say something right here, and I think it's important, and I think it needs to be said in the house of God, especially in this day, but I'm going to go ahead and say it anyways. But I want to say we are hurting ourselves. Y'all listening? We're hurting ourselves when we spend all of our time and all of our effort out here arguing and fussing with the world on certain topics and certain issues that are outside of our control, rather than just serving God. Amen. I mean, I've seen people in the house of God. I mean, they were in fellowship just last year, but now all of a sudden there's been some issues arise around us, things that are outside our control, and now they won't even sit beside one another. I mean, they can't even fellowship with each other no more. I mean, there's been some things go on, and I'm telling you, friend, we are hurting ourselves when we're out here, giving all our time and effort to plead our case. It is not our job to plead our case. It is our job to serve the Lord and live out our faith before a lost and dying world. That's our job. We don't have to explain it. Just live it. Notice this, he don't respond in the flesh either. I look at this and I think, man, it would be all right if he did respond just a little bit. I mean, they're making these accusations. They're trying to take his life. I mean, I think it'd be all right if Daniel spoke up and maybe said a little something. But he don't. Now, I'll say this, that you're most apt to respond out of the flesh when you're under attack. I mean, it's easy to have the right response when you're not being attacked. But when you're being attacked, and your family's being attacked, and your church is being attacked, and your preacher's being attacked, it's easy to respond out of the flesh. But Daniel doesn't do that. Daniel, he just keeps his hands to the plow. He just keeps his face toward it, pointed toward heaven, and he just continues to serve God. May I remind you, the Bible was very clear that in the last days, perilous times will come. Evil men, seducers, they're going to wax worse and worse. We look around, we're so surprised by it. We've been told all along this is going to happen. It is the world that we live in. But he just keeps his mouth shut and he serves God. Lastly, I'll give you this and I'm done. The preeminent plan in verse 16. You'll find that in verse 16, they cast him into the den of lions. And you can read the rest of the chapter. And I'll not take time to read it. But if you read the rest of the chapter, we find that Daniel responds the right way, but he's still thrown in the den of lions. Watch this now. Having the right response does not exempt you from getting thrown into the lion's den every now and then. You can respond the right way and still lose your job. You can respond the right way and still get penalized for it. And still get punished for it. But here's the difference. Daniel got thrown in the lion's den, but Daniel wasn't in there by himself. This is the good part. This is the good time where you shout hallelujah and you thank God. I mean, somebody brought a book up here about Ed Ballou to me just before the service. And this is the part where you get to shout hallelujah for the unseen hand, you know, that he used to sing about all the time. Because as Daniel got thrown into the lion's den, because he's serving God, honoring God, worshiping God, and having the right response. Here's the thing about it. He got thrown in there, but he wasn't by himself. That unseen hand moved up in there. And it shut the mouth of the lions that night. I'm talking about, friend, one old preacher said it like this. There's nothing more miserable than being a lion in Daniel's den. I mean, you thought you was getting supper, but now God done shut your mouth up, and you got to sit there and watch at him. May I say, that is the God we serve, friend. I'm telling you, friend, he has the power to turn this thing upside down. He could turn it around at just speaking the word. He could turn it around right now. He's an all-powerful God, Almighty God. He is in a league to himself. Don't ever degrade the awesomeness of our great God. Oh, that's the God we serve. Watch this. The ones who hated Daniel and the God that he served and came up with this grand plan to destroy him ends up being the victims of their own plan.
Yeah. Anybody ever felt like this? Anybody ever felt like, man, you look at somebody and they're serving God and they're honoring God and they're standing for what's true. And it seems like they just continued to just be pulled down. All the while, just right down the road, there's another family. And they're anti-God. They're anti-truth. They're anti-Bible. And it seems like everything just falls right in their lap. Anybody ever felt like that before?
Amen.
And I mean, it seems like, you know, that you look around and you think, man, how's it going to work? Look up in here. We win. This is the winning side, friend. It don't matter what you see. It don't matter what you look at. This is the winning side. This is the best side. I'd rather, if I got to go get in a lion's den up for the presence of God, I'd rather go to the lion's den. What they thought was going to be good ended up being bad for them. Here's what I'm trying to get to you this morning. I know it's a crazy world. I know we're dealing with all kinds of nonsense. But what I'm more interested in is not necessarily what the world is doing, but what are we doing? How are we responding? I've watched a lot of people change this past year or so. This virus, all this we've dealt with, and it's still touchy. I mean, there's places I go and preach, and you mention it, and it's like a coldness comes over the place. And I see some of them preachers, they're like, uh-oh, what's he going to say? You know, what kind of mess am I going to... And I'm not... Listen, here's what I've learned from it. Not everybody thinks they know, but nobody really knows. But God. And I'm just going to stay with Him. So, but here's what I have learned. From all this that's went on the past year, it has brought to light where a lot of people stand, spiritually speaking. It has. I've seen people get mad that I didn't even know knew how to get mad. I've seen things, you know, and listen, I'm not happy about some of the things we're seeing. But if you and I don't respond the right way, we're not going to win them. Daniel won them over. I'm talking about, friend, he won a lot of people over. And he had the right response. Just because he served God. You know what the answer is? Just keep serving God. Just keep worshiping God. Just keep your windows open. Don't cave in. Don't bow up. Just stay with God. And then let God be God. Let Him handle all them things you're worried about. You can't fix them anyways. I'm convinced with all my heart, and I'm done right here. I'm convinced with all my heart. I've heard and heard and heard and heard, you know, the problem with our world is this. Problem with the government. Listen, the answer is not in the White House. Never has been, never will be. It's not in politics. It's not in, you know where the answer is? Right here. And you go back and you study our history. When this was right in here, everything else was right out there. Trouble came when it started getting wrong in here. When we started having the wrong response, then it just filtered out there. Here's where it's at. What's your response this morning? What are you going to do to all that's going on around us in the world? What are you now going to do? I'm like the old man of God said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord.
Amen.
And we're just going to go with God. What is your response? Would you stand to your feet this morning, heads bowed, eyes closed, nobody looking around? I want to invite you, if God spoke to your heart and you need to come pray, I want to invite you to come pray this morning. However the Lord spoke to you, if you're here and you're not saved, oh, there's been a good God in heaven. He's graciously allowed you one more day, one more opportunity. He didn't have to wake you up this morning. But yet God give you another opportunity. Why don't you come, let somebody take a Bible, show you how to be saved. Cry out unto Him. I like what your preacher said this morning. There is no right words. There is no right formula. Just cry unto Him. Just cry unto Him. Just call upon Him. God will save you. I don't know how He spoke to you, but if God spoke to you, I want to invite you to come. Do business with God. Get the right response. Let's just keep serving God. Heavenly Father, I love You. I thank You for Thy Word. Thank You for stirring within my heart. I pray, God, Lord, something will take place within the hearts of Your people this morning.
Lord, we get our eyes off all this going on around us. God, we get our focus where it ought to be this morning, and that is upon you and you alone. Lord, may we respond in the right way. God, may we be a people that when we leave, when we drive down the street, when we walk down the street, when we go into the grocery store, those around us, they can look and they may not understand it, but they can see there's something different about them. There's something unique about them. There's something attractive. God, help us to have the right response. Lord, I love you. Thank you for what you're about to do in Jesus' name. Amen. You come as they sing.